This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, the Guardians get it done in dramatic fashion in the series finale against the White Sox. They walk it off with a 7-6 victory in extra innings. Bo Naylor delivering the bases-loaded single off Brian Shaw. Really just the second night in a row that they were able to rally from a 5-run deficit. And the brothers Naylor really came up big, doing something special once again, homering for the in the same inning, and then both coming up with big hits in the 10th inning to drive in runs. Just a special night for Bo and for Josh Naylor together on the field.
Yeah, it was like a little league game for the Naylors, Joe. In the 4th inning, they both homer, and then in the 10th inning, Josh gets the double to tie it, and Bo gets the game-winning single to win it. It was if you couldn't write that any better. I mean, that was like a Hollywood or something. It was a great night for the Naylors, a great night for the Guardians, and it was history. You know, that doesn't happen too often.
Yeah, a great night for the bullpen. The only guy it wasn't a great night for was Tanner Bibee, who you had a Guardian starter go out there and give up a 5-run lead, put his team in a 5-run hole. But then he came back and got them through a few innings after giving up the lead and gave his team an opportunity to come back. But really the bullpen continues to be the story here. It's coming out of spring training with all the injuries, with all the new faces. He didn't know what to expect out of this bullpen, and it really has been the strength of this team through the first, 12 games?
Yeah, no doubt about that, Joe. Last night, Sandlin, Heron, Smith, Beatty, Class A, and Morgan, you know, they pitched the last, 5 2/3 innings. They give up one run in those 5 2/3. And they don't walk a batter, and they only give up 5 hits. So they've done a great job. But my concern, Joe, is how hard can you ride this bullpen? I mean, they're tied for second place for the second most innings pitched in the American League. The rotation has only pitched 58 and a third innings. The bullpen has pitched 48 and 2/3 innings. That's a recipe for disaster, Joe. This is 162 games. You cannot go to the whip with the bullpen, you know, every night like this. And so far, that's how Cleveland has forged its 9-3 record.
Yeah, that was Stephen Vogt after the game saying that, you know, the bullpen, really the team, but the bullpen in particular has earned this day off today. I don't know if they would have played anyways with the weather that we're having, but this day off for the bullpen, much needed. He joked that he was going to send out text messages to all the guys in the bullpen this morning saying, hey, you're down for tonight, just to sort of reinforce the idea that, hey, just take a mental break and come back fresh. But Yes, they're being used a lot, but the performance is what really stands out for me. For even Eli Morgan, who's been probably among the shakiest of these guys, you know, last night he came in and he had to pitch in that 10th inning. Like you said, the one run that he did allow, it was an unearned run because it's the automatic runner at second base, you know, but he gets a timely double play. I'm sorry, that was earlier. That was the double play. That was Class A who got the double play. But he Morgan struck out two in that inning and came back and, you know, could have folded, but didn't. Gave him a vote of confidence afterwards. So yeah, everybody who's contributing in this bullpen, but I think the depth is what's gonna sort of carry them. They keep adding pieces. They keep making these little trades. They made another one yesterday where they acquired an arm who can give them a little bit of depth at Triple A if they need to call somebody up. Peter Strzelecki came up and pitched a scoreless inning in this series. So there's options there, and other guys coming back from injury will help at some point as well.
Yeah, Joe, for sure. They made the trade yesterday. They got Zerlicky and Zach on a trade right at the start of the season with two more pitchers that they added to the 40 man. And right, you've got Lively and Curry coming back that should be ready to join the team next week if they need them. They're going to need a starter, so they're going to have reinforcements, but I just remember Terry Francona drilled this into my head for, 11 years of covering him. He goes, if you burn the bullpen out, your season is ruined and you never get that bullpen back, and I'm sure Vogt knows that. And you have to really handle your bullpen carefully. It doesn't matter if it's early in the season, the middle of the season, or late in the season. That can make the difference between winning and losing.
Yeah, part of what is sort of contributing to this issue is the absence of Shane Bieber, and we find out that he will be going under the knife tomorrow, Friday in Dallas. Keith Meister, the surgeon, will be performing Tommy John surgery on him. You got that information confirmed by the club early yesterday.
Yeah, I talked to Shane, yesterday before the game. He told me he was going to get the surgery on Friday. And, I think Joe, I got the sense he was looking forward to it. He wanted to get this process on. He wanted to, okay, let's see what we're dealing with. Let's get the operation, let's get into rehab and let me see, just how I'm coming out the other end of this thing. Now, obviously, it's going to be a long journey. It's at least a year, right, with Tommy mm-hmm. John, a year, maybe a year plus. So he's not going to know where he is until he's down, sometime in 2025. But, it happened early this season. He's going to have a long runway to get back. But, he seemed to be in a good frame of mind. And, Joe, I asked him, he really didn't have to address his situation with the media mm-hmm. On opening day. But he said he chose to do that. The Guardians had asked him to do it. Bart Swain had asked him if he wanted to do it. And I said, why did you do that? And he goes, well, I did it for the media, but I also did it for myself. I think he wanted to just lay it out there and just kind of get it off, just tell us how he was feeling. And I think it was almost self-therapeutic for him just the process of talking about it.
Yeah, that was something that stood out, just sitting there and listening to him, besides the obvious emotion that he had about the situation, was the preparedness that he came into that press conference for. He pretty much told us when we asked him about, the preponderance of elbow injuries the last couple of weeks here that have been being that had been announced by teams and by other pitchers. In addition to him, he said, yeah, in my time preparing for this interview, I was anticipating you guys asking me that question. And then he went into his response. So, you know, it wasn't just all you know, off the cuff sort of stuff. He anticipated what we were going to ask him, and he did some preparation for it. And it didn't sound like it was all rehearsed, but obviously he knew what he wanted to talk about, and he knew which direction he wanted to take the press conference there. And you know, I give him all the credit in the world for doing that. Like you said, he didn't have to do it. There's no rule that said an injured player has to stand up there and take questions for 15 minutes from reporters, but he did it anyways. And you know, maybe that's a step towards you know, some sort of healing or reunion or something down the road where you know, maybe we haven't seen the last of Shane Bieber around, but we'll certainly be seeing him in the clubhouse at times, I'm sure, during his recovery. Want to make sure our listeners know about Subtext, the best way to get updates about the Guardians from Hoynsey and from me throughout the season. It's $3.99 a month to subscribe. You get messages sent directly to your phone, so you can skip the social media and get responses and a direct channel to talk to us. Go to cleveland.com/subtext or send a text message to 216-208-4346 to sign up there. Hoynsey, the Naylor brothers weren't the only ones enjoying some success last night. Stephen Kwan as well, another multi-hit game. He went 2 for 5 with an RBI, his eighth multi-hit game of the season, including a solo home run in the fifth inning that cut the Guardians' deficit to 1 run. It's the 101st multi-hit game of his career, the third most in the American League, like we said yesterday, since the start of 2022. I mean, with every hit, multi-hit, home run effort that he puts out there, Kwan is just adding zeros to the paycheck that he's eventually going to get.
Yeah, Joe. I mean, doesn't it seem like he's still a rookie? That's what it seems like to me. I mean, and this guy, he just like gets 2 hits every day. You know, it just seems like, you know, it was yesterday he was the starting left fielder, you know, the opening day. I don't think he was in the opening day lineup, but I think he might have been the opening day right fielder on his first game with Cleveland. But this guy, he's just, you know, whoever did the scouting job on Stephen Kwan with the Cleveland organization deserves a raise, because they found a gem in this guy, and he's a, you know, the ideal leadoff hitter, you know. And you know, as Chris Felaika said, he thought he was the hitting coach said he thought as Kwan matured and got stronger that he was going to add power. We've seen flashes of that early in this season. And Joe, there's nothing on this guy can't do on a baseball field.
Yeah, the first home runs of his season in 2022 came on July 24th, and then last year, June 3rd. So earlier in the season that he's hitting these home runs now. He's already got 2 this year. You mentioned the scouting. I would imagine that you know, Guardian scouts were out there at Oregon State to see guys like Adley Rutschman. But Stephen Kwan must have shown them something, obviously, because those powerhouse teams had this engine at the top of the lineup for them, and we're seeing that pay off now here in the big leagues. He has 22 hits right now through it leads the major leagues, and through the first 12 games, his 22 hits tie Sandy Alomar through the first 12 games. In 1997, Alomar, you know, led the Guardians. That 97 season for Alomar was pretty special, and he had 22 hits through the first 12 games that year, as well. So,
Yeah, that was the year Sandy had a 30-game hitting streak, I believe.
and All-Star MVP as well. So,
Yep.
you know, a pretty special season for Sandy. So yeah, at the top of the lineup, you got Kwan going well. Hosey took an 0 for 5, frustrating 0 for 5 yesterday.
Yeah.
But the Nailers picked him up, man. They were the story last night, and you know, certainly it was playing out as we're sitting there watching it. It played out exactly like it had the night before on Tuesday, when they fell behind by 5 runs, and then Josh Naylor hits a home run, and you know, boom, the rally is on. They tie the game. They force extra innings. What did you think of what, you know, just the resilience of this club and, you know, continuing to ride that good vibe of, you know, positive energy in the clubhouse?
Yeah, I love it, Joe. I think, you know, that's the key to any team, to have that ability to come back no matter what the deficit. Even if you come back and you make it close and you lose, you know, that's a big thing. And I think they rode that from Tuesday night on into Wednesday. They fall behind again, 5-0, and this time they come back and win it. They complete it. They complete the comeback. And if a team doesn't have that, Joe, if they don't have that comeback ability, especially late in the game, they're in trouble. And, you know, Cleveland teams, for the most part, over the last decade, have had that quality.
Yeah, and, you know, Vogt said on Tuesday, well, we're not the team that's going to hit the big three-run home run or anything like that. But, you know, in this series, they proved they can hit the ball out of the park. Or at least they're starting to figure that out. And the guys that are going to be relied upon that for the remainder of this year, it was Josh and Bo, you know, doing it. I think they talked about in the post game being prepared for these moments and, you know, having, you know, going all the way back to, you know, playing catch and playing, you know, hitting the ball around in the yard with their parents in Mississauga, Ontario. When they were kids growing up, you know, their dad would give them scenarios and say, you know, it's the bottom of the ninth and you need to hit this ball out. And, you know, putting them through that and now it translates and that you see what's happening, and to be doing it with your brother by your side has got to be exciting for them.
Oh, man, that's like a dream come true. I loved what Josh said, that he dreamt of it. You know, he dreamt of playing with his brother in the big leagues. He said, you know, if we both kept working at our craft, if we both, you know, trained hard and kept going in the right direction, that one day we'd either be playing against each other or on the same team in the big leagues. And, you know, he was right. And I mean, it doesn't always work out like that. I would think, you know, they are the exception rather than the rule, obviously. But what a great story. And I love the fact that that Josh was talking about, you know, playing like wiffle ball with those big fat bats in the mm-hmm. backyard, and his dad throwing him BP and he's hitting the ball. You know, you could just see that, you know, because we've all done it growing up, you know. So that was a great story by him.
Yeah, and, you know, just sort of hammering home the point of, you know, mom was also involved in that sort of upbringing and that character and that that development from an early age. So it's a whole family affair with Chris and Janice Miles, Miles Naylor as well. Everybody's involved. You know, I don't get tired of writing these in-game posts when they hit, you know, home runs in the same inning. And it's kind of a neat little sidebar there. The Alomar brothers never did it when they played for played for Cleveland. Robbie Alomar, Sandy Alomar never homered in the same game, never, you know, homered in the same inning or anything like that. So, you know, that's something. The Naylors are the 13th pair of brothers to homer in the same game for the same team in the major leagues. BJ and Justin Upton were the most recent teammates to do it in Atlanta, but Jeremy and Jason Giambi have done it. Wilton and Vladimir Guerrero, Tommy and Hank Aaron, Paul and Lloyd Warner. That's got to be going way back. Maybe Hoynesie covered those.
Big Poison and Little Poison from the Pirates.
Oh wow! Edgar and Adrian Gonzalez. Billy and Cal Ripken, Billy and Tony Conigliero, Adam and Andy LaRoche, Jose and Benji Molina, Maddie and Jesus Alou, and Maddie and Felipe Alou. So they would need to add Miles Naylor to get all three brothers to homer in the same inning or in the same game. That would be I think that's a little far fetched, but it could happen, I guess.
It could happen. Maybe they play each other and they both homer, and one homers in the top of the inning and two of them homer in the bottom. Who knows?
Well, you bring that up, but the last prior to the Naylors doing it last year in Texas, The most recent brothers to hit home runs in the same game were Kyle Seager and Corey Seager. Kyle Seager for Seattle and Corey Seager at the time for the Dodgers. They homered in the same game as opponents in August of 2020. So, you know, there's a million little, you know, stat things and niche sort of, you know, records that you can look up and all that. But really, when it comes down to it, it's what Bo said. He said, you know, every inning, every game, I get to throw the ball down to my brother at first base. And that's just the coolest thing. And you got to appreciate that and you got to respect it. And it's neat to be watching it, you know, here in Cleveland and with the team that you follow.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it's, you know, it's, you know, it just doesn't happen that often. And you just have to, you know, brothers always, there's always some kind of like little like competition between brothers. I mean, sometimes and I wonder, you know, just if they push each other, you know, I wonder if they drive each other, like, you know, Josh hits the home run in the fourth and then Bo comes up and is he trying to match his brother? It's, you know, that competition, that friendly competition and sometimes not so friendly competition with your brother, you know, that brings out the best in you sometimes.
Well, and it's like, they're the one guy in that clubhouse to each other that can push and push hard. And, you know, no matter what they say or do there's always that love there. So it doesn't matter if Josh freaks out or, you know, screams and yells, that's like the one guy he can do it to. But I just don't see that being the case between the two. I see them definitely pushing each other. But these guys, when they talk to us, it's all about saying the right thing. And they're very conscious of how they come across in terms of just watching the two of them last night sit up there. Their responses were very measured. Now, we've seen Josh with outbursts and emotion, particularly against the White Sox in the past. I think he's become more conscious, you know, of that since the last couple of seasons when it happened in 22. And you know, I want to see him, you know, let that sort of stuff out. It could be fun. It's a good group. And like they said, I think the clubhouse has taken on some of the characteristics of both of the Naylor brothers, in terms of their resiliency and their attitude about, you know, hey, we're never really out of these games, even if we're down 5-0. So that was a fun one already in this season, already in the first three games of the homestand, we've had these fun games. This is going to be a fun team to watch throughout the rest of this year, Hoynesy.
Yeah, I think so, Joe. I mean, like you've said, they have that good vibe going in the clubhouse, and it's always good when you're 9-3. Now, you know, we've got to see them, how they go through, you know, maybe a 3-9 stretch. You know, then we'll get a really true read on this club. But I think they had this all through spring training. I think it's, you know, like we've said before, this is a team that's been together now for, you know, 3 years. There's been some change, yes, but the core of the team has been together. They're developing together, and they're getting better together. And I think they believe in themselves. And, you know, that's critical. It's critical for a team, I think, to believe in itself more than the people from the outside looking in believe in them. They have to have that feeling amongst themselves that they're better than anyone expected. And, you know, so far we're seeing that.
Well, it's been fun to watch through 12 games and deserved off day today. And the Yankees come to town tomorrow. We will preview how much, how big a task it's going to be to try and, you know, win that series against the Yankees for the Guardians on Friday morning. Hoynesy, that's going to wrap up today's edition of the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. We'll check in with you then.
Okay, Joe.